After I'd been a Christian a year or more, I went to Hal to discuss something that was bothering me. "Hal, I need you to help me with something," I said with real reluctance. "There's something in the Sermon on the Mount I'm finding very troubling." "I bet I know the part," he grinned. "It's not my favorite verse either." "Well, how do you know which verse I'm talking about?" I asked. "There's a lot of difficult..." He stopped me with his hand. "Try me," he said. "You play golf, don't you?" he said with that little twinkle. "Well, if you can call it that," I said. "I keep coming back for more, so I must be having fun." "Golf's a hard game," he said. "Most of us are amazed by how erratic we are. One day 105, the next time 89. Well, 94, okay. How can one guy be so inconsistent?" Mulligan, the Irish genius who invented the do-over, gave us the answer in one of his famous Mulligan's Laws. "The game of golf is 90% mental and 10% mental." I laughed and said, "That must be my problem." Of course, Mulligan wasn't 100% right. You do have to actually strike the ball. That part is physical. But all the experts say he was 90% right. Golf is 90% mental. The novice can't see that. He thinks it's all about hitting the ball. He's wrong. I couldn't see where he was going with this. He didn't even know what question I wanted to ask. But he went on. "First, there's your attitude. You've got to like the game enough to pursue it, to take lessons and practice. Next, there's the mental part of hitting the ball. Imagining the ideal swing. Remembering to swing slowly. Hold your head still. Stay behind the ball. Keep your hands in front of the club." The list is very long. "And then the strategy. Knowing how to play the course. Avoiding the low percentage shots. Saving strokes by staying out of trouble." This is where most of us lose it. We think this time we'll be able to put it between those bunkers or make it hook around that tree. I was enjoying the golf illustrations and nearly forgot my question, but Hal hadn't. "Jesus told us about another part of life that's 90% mental. I bet it's the part of the Sermon on the Mount that's troubling you. It's in Matthew chapter 5, right?" I nodded. "You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." He'd guessed it all right. We think adultery is about the most physical thing there is. You either do it or you don't. So it's hard, especially for young men, to understand what Jesus is saying. It sounds like he means he'll hold us responsible for real adultery just because we look at a woman and think she's attractive. He'd put his finger on it for sure. "That's my question," I agreed. "Is that what it means?" "Now that'd be like saying you've hit a golf shot just by mentally preparing for it, wouldn't it?" He smiled. "I don't think the Creator would say anything like that, do you?" I shook my head, but I had to say, if he didn't mean that, I didn't know what he meant. "Isn't he saying that thinking about it is just as bad as doing it?" "No, no," Hal said as he clasped his hands behind his head. "How could that be? Think of the different effects on a marriage, on kids, on the months and years afterwards. No, the two things couldn't be the same." I showed my puzzlement with my hands. "I think he's saying adultery is 90% mental, a lot like golf. First, a man lets his attitude go in that direction. He thinks about it. Usually it's about her. He doesn't run from it, or even put it out of his mind, because he likes being there mentally. Next, he imagines what it would be like to actually strike the ball. In his mind, he translates the pleasure of being around her and talking to her into a fantasy of making love to her. Finally, he may go into the strategy of playing the course, actually planning how he'll make it all come true, how he'll avoid being caught, maybe even how he'll break it to his wife. All this without a single physical action." "I see what you mean," I said. "But should we really call that adultery?" Adultery means taking another woman instead of your wife, doesn't it? I nodded. Well, if a man's giving his attention to that other woman, giving himself to her mentally, he can't really be with his wife, can he? He can't be one flesh with her. Can't love her as Christ loved the church, if his mind, his heart, is with someone else. He's cheating on his wife. At least he's cheating her out of his affection, his attention, his heart. It may not be as ruinous as physical adultery, but it's pretty destructive. I know. You know? I asked, astonished. What do you mean, Hal? I mean, I've been there, done that. I left my first young bride after just 3 years for another woman. But that was after 2 years of adultery in my heart. Now I know I started leaving her when I first allowed myself to be attracted to another woman. I wasn't listening to the Lord back then. I gave up someone I loved and who loved me for no good reason. Believe me, Jesus was right on the money that day on the Mount. But you've never done that since, I ventured. Oh, I wish I could say that, he said with a sadness in his voice. Jesus didn't talk about the small stuff in that sermon. They're all the biggies. Lust, vengeance, pride, hypocrisy, greed, anxiety, judging others. The ones we have the most trouble shaking off. No, I've had to stay on the alert all my life to keep myself out of trouble with lust. I bet it's true of most men. I had to nod again. So what can we do? How can anyone deal with this? I think the best advice is in Proverbs chapter 5. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Think about her. Hang on to your fascination with her. Keep finding things to enjoy about her and ways to keep her enjoying you. Don't leave any mental room for other women. Crowd them out with love for your wife. Fortunately, this is also a lot like golf. Marital faithfulness is 90% mental, too. Dear Lord, I am a weak and sinful man. Please help me to resist sexual temptation. Help me to keep my mind on the woman you've given me. May I always be faithful to her, in my heart. Then I know I'll always be faithful in my body. I fill my mind with the things I love about her. And I see I have no room for anyone else. Father, keep me where I need to be. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.